Matt, tell me, how did you get started as an English language teacher? Talk us through it.
I always love languages myself. I actually come from a background where my family's immigrants as well. So my family immigrated from the Soviet Union, actually. So I have some background of speaking Russian. I've actually studied Russian when I was in my university, and I got to know the language a lot more because I love languages. I studied linguistics, and I really like to share my passion for learning languages with other people because, my opinion, like learning another language, it's like new life, new people, new connections, new friendships, everything like that. Teaching English, I would say, because I understand that when you live in another country as an immigrant, sometimes your opportunities are limited because you don't speak the language. For me, I think it's like very important that we're able to give these people opportunities because they are motivated and everything. The only thing that's standing in their way is a language barrier, and that can be easily fixed because they already have that motivation.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey. Also, do you teach Russian as well?
I'm still learning Russian. It's a never-ending process. Like even English, I could still say I'm learning English, right? Because English is
Yes.
such a diverse language. We have American English, we have Canadian English, British English. I have some friends from like all over the world. I have a friend from Great Britain. And even today, like I'm learning new vocabulary, and it's interesting. Like even in my own country, the United States, like it's crazy. Everywhere you go, they say a different word. Just new aspects of life, basically. Yeah, I'm still learning Russian and everything. She's studying to be a translator, believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I am ultimately trying to be a simultaneous translator, all aspects, maybe law, maybe this or that, but currently just studying medical translation.
It's pretty
So
heavy stuff. Medical, you have to, in medical, the terms are more like Latin. And so that's like a whole new language
oh
on
my
its
God, yeah.
own.
It's like a giant enigma in my head is what I get. It's a puzzle, but I like it because I like puzzles. I like hard things. Of course, learning Russian is not the easiest language to learn. The same vice versa about English, you know. We're talking about like phrasal verbs, verb tenses. For some people, it's just, I really enjoy it. I really get to connect with new people, so many more friends than I did before. And
Awesome. Yes, languages are definitely a beautiful way to create community, learn about yourself, and also you're just learning about a beautiful world that we have. Thank you so much for sharing that. Did being an English language teacher inspire you to learn, since you already know Russian, inspire you to learn like another new language? Then
so I'm also studying, also learned a little bit of Ukrainian and German.
that's a lot in your head.
It is a lot in my head.
How do you learn your languages? Do you have like a tutor? You do like self-study, or you so you really understand most of your students, what they face daily.
Yeah, of course. Like I try to put myself in their shoes. You got to be honest with yourself and your student. Like you got to tell them when you're learning a language, it's a process. It's all about the best way to acquire a language and everything, what's practical. What I always tell my students is, I'm not going to waste their time because, again, when I'm working with students, the most of the time people are learning the English language is because they need some opportunities. They need it for work. They need it to survive. And so I feel like if the teacher is not giving them practical things, they're wasting their time and they're just lying to them. It's careless. So, of course, when I look for a teacher, I look for the same thing. And I did. I found an excellent teacher. So I actually found her on Preply because I've worked there for a little bit. And she's actually living out in Poland. So she's multilingual herself. She's learning another language as well. Her English is, you know, so-so, but we were able to communicate and understand each other through Russian. But she's learning Polish.
That sounds really exciting that you are just an enthusiast of language and just ever learning. It's commonly thought that one can teach English remotely online from anywhere in the world, thus allowing a nomadic lifestyle. Has that been your experience?
So my students is you can do it remotely or you can do it in person. It all depends on what the person is comfortable with or used to. Some people find it more convenient to learn online, but I think some people also prefer in person because it's a little more personal and maybe they can feel like they can build a more of a connection with their teacher. You see, I used to teach abroad too, and yeah, I lived there for like a year and a half, and I was there for humanitarian reasons. I like to do it because unfortunately, there is a lot of poverty in some of the post-Soviet territory. Beautiful countries, beautiful cultures. Unfortunately, like you go to villages, for example, and they have dirt roads. and everything. Mm. Like the infrastructure is not exactly put together. Yes. And some people are lacking in opportunities just because of where they're located. So when I was there, I went to help people in the villages, teach them English. I used to work with also orphans.
Just helping out in that way, not just their language skills, but just their everyday need. Thank you for just being like a proactive agent. And wherever you are, you want to make a difference. And we need a lot of people like that in the world, honestly. What is one common myth about being an English language teacher that you may like to debunk?
That we're perfect. We're not perfect. Okay. Human beings make mistakes. So teachers make mistakes too. Mm-hmm. I will definitely say that. So sometimes I do make mistakes as well. Of course, I don't beat myself up about my mistakes because I try to share that with my students. I'm trying to show them that it's important to take the pressure off of yourself. Because when you take the pressure off of yourself, you're able to be more successful. You're able to concentrate more on what you need to do on acquiring language. I do this, like I said, because most of my students, their job depends on English. So sometimes I have my students getting frustrated. I have them take a big deep breath and talk through it with them, whether it be in English or maybe Russian or Ukrainian, for example. And we try to get right back to it. But I tell them that it's all a process. They need to be patient with themselves, that if they're motivated enough and they work hard enough, they will get it. They will get it.
You're just like a motivational coach almost. You need to be that if you are a teacher, especially during certain circumstances, students' lives, you have to be like that cheerleader almost. And I love how you are a human, more or less. You're humanizing your teaching. You're saying teachers are not perfect.
Because I have met many teachers in my life with egos, to be honest. If you carry yourself with an ego, it kind of rubs off on your student. You know, you need to set an example for your students, because if your teacher says, oh, I'm never wrong, then the student's going to get afraid and they say, oh my God, it's awful. I did something wrong. You can't do that. You can't do that at all. Yeah. You have to show them that it's okay to be human being, because we're not human machines. Of course, learning a language is tough. It's like a puzzle. It's about acquiring. It's a science, but we are not machines. We're human beings. Ultimately.
Yeah. Definitely. That is a great point made. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classes? I know you just dropped like amazing. Any more?
Of course. Of course.
Good to have like those insightful, motivational nuggets, just everyday life, even not just only for teaching.
Yes, yes, yes. So I always tell my students that learning a new language is learning a new way of thinking. So I'm trying to remind my students that it's not something necessary that you memorize, but it's something more cognitive. So it's actually something you have to open up your brain more. It's like you have to rewire the gears a little bit, because like I said, it is a science. So sometimes things are not always going to make sense, you know, especially with languages that are so far apart. For example, maybe if you're teaching someone who speaks Mandarin, right, as their native language, it might be more like their language is more based off of pronunciation. We're talking about vocabulary. Okay, but you have to remind them that English works a little differently. That we actually have some more grammatical structures that work a little bit differently. So you have to remind them that if it's a completely different language, that means too, you're going to have to try to force yourself to think a little bit differently as well. It's kind of like in school when we would learn math.
Yes.
It would force us to work a different way. And of course, we get frustrated when we're looking at this math problem. At the end of the day, once we solve it, we realize that our brain can work a lot differently than we thought.
So that you definitely have to like unlock your brain, open it and wire it so that you'll be able to get the information.
Also too, like the way that we behave is different. The biggest thing, of course, like cultural differences, right, that I have with my students, they don't smile when they don't know someone, because it is what's taught in the environment. And not necessarily that it's bad or it's wrong. You see, the funniest thing is some people from other cultures have misconceptions about each other.
Matt, what are some warm-ups or introductions that you share in your classes?
Sure, sure. So I always ask my student how they're doing. So we basically start off talking. That's basically what we're doing. They might not know everything, but it allows them to review all the concepts that we're going through, maybe the vocabulary. Of course, I'll help them out. I'll make minor corrections. But also, too, I actually want to ask how they're doing. You want a teacher that's empathetic, not some teacher that just says, okay, another student, please, please. You want to actually show that you care what's going on in their lives. I do practice a little bit with small talk. I guess you can say, how's it going? How's your day? How was school?
Yes, most definitely. Like conversational lessons are definitely a great way to warm up the class. And then having your heart in the lesson, knowing that you care about your students, that's the most big proponent, where if you care about the students, will care about you and care about the lesson. What is a favorite lesson in your classes that you like to teach?
Sometimes my students, they will ask me to give them a review.
Okay.
But they don't want to know about it, when it's going to happen. So I make sure I pick a random day. It's actually kind of funny. Do some sort of oral review because, you know, I have students at different levels. This is, for example, if they're like towards B2, getting towards C1, the more advanced grammatical concepts. We're talking about like used to, be used to, get used to, phrasal verbs. I will go out of nowhere and I will ask them a random question to involve like a phrasal verb, like in what situations do you need someone to come back to you? And they go, what? And they go, oh, you're asking me that. It's kind of funny. And I'm like, yeah.
You got to be on your toes with teacher Matt.
Yeah.
Surprise you with these review questions. And also, just to test your knowledge, have you been studying outside of class? Have you been up to date with your study?
And it shows that also it reminds them.
Want a free gift? Why don't you visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com to get exclusive content, our latest episodes, and even more great resources for you there. So, I'll let you get back to our fun conversation.
Wow, I need to study.
And do you have an English language course, business, or service that you're providing?
With my students, I run speaking clubs.
I used to live in New York and they had so many different speaking clubs. You could just jump in. They have them like Whole Foods. Sometimes they have it on meetup.com. You would just like meet with random people that just from all over the world. They might have just flew in from Japan or something like that. They just jump in and there you go, meeting random people, but we're just learning languages.
Yeah, and everybody's having a good time. Like people are getting to know each other. Of course, I try to make it more like a relaxed environment because I don't want them to keep in mind that it's a practice because sometimes it puts too much pressure on them. Sometimes people are afraid to speak. That's the hardest part, I would say, about a language is speaking, remembering everything. I make sure I start off, I have a sense of humor. We have an amazing time. We all laugh and everybody's getting the chance to practice.
And do you have a preference in teaching adults or children in your classes?
So I actually teach mainly adults, but I do have some students who are children. So I work with some students from, well, currently they're in the United States, but they're from countries like Israel, Ukraine, Russia. I also work with a student from Belarus, and she's currently studying in a university in California.
Wow, congrats.
She amazes me, really. She amazes me. And she's always using slang with me. So, like, it's kind of funny because, you know, she goes totes or totally.
That is so fun. Your students is just getting real comfortable and using those social languages. Have you faced any challenges while teaching and what did you learn from any of them?
Of course, many of my students come from very rough backgrounds just because of the nature of their environments. And sometimes I have to make sure that their emotions won't get in the way of their progress. What's the best way to do this? It's not to say, just forget about it, go away. I actually like to talk through it with them. Make sure they're in a good place. Make sure they're in a good place for a lesson, or make sure we can try to gear back into learning English, because as much as they are struggling, I do hope for them to get the opportunity still to get for a better life. Because a lot of times the people who I do work for are striving for a better life. So I want to make sure that they can keep some mindfulness that that's what we're trying to gear towards and everything. That's what we can do. Unfortunately, I can't solve their problems, their personal problems, but I can try to give them skills to reach a better life, more opportunities and things like that. And that's what my motivation is.
Set the tone and just be, you wear the hat as like a counselor, therapist, or just be that friend that they need before jumping into the lesson is definitely like profound. Because I've been a student and we all have been a student. We're in class. We have all these other things fuzzing in our brains. And it's just, hey, I just need time out. That's awesome that you are that counsel to your student. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching English?
For me, teaching isn't just my passion, you know, it's languages in general. So anything that involves languages for me is, I'm happy to do it, basically. So of course I have translation, but I'm also interested in maybe pursuing technical writing, copywriting. Okay. In the future. Teaching, I just like it because I like helping people. So for me, that's why I like it. At the same time, you have to keep realize sometimes your students are not actually the wealthiest people. So you have to meet realistic price. You can't take advantage of them. And what they said, ridiculous prices, like $100 for a course is ridiculous. You're taking advantage of them. And again, it's just too much. You're asking too much of them. Of course, you know, I do look for other jobs as well, but it doesn't take anything away from my responsibilities as a teacher.
You're thinking about the interests of your students. Also, being a teacher, it's more or less, you're not in for the money. You're there to just be like the proponent to help, to share your heart and to just be a person of love.
You need to have a good balance, of course, because you still need to take care of yourself too.
That's
also important. You know, I do keep in mind that I need to take care of myself. Like I said, I'm not a machine. I'm a human being. I'm not perfect either. And of course, I have to look out for my life. I do make sure that I make it.
I definitely understand clearly. Is it better to teach privately or to teach at a school?
I like to teach privately personally because, like I said, I've been to some schools and the way they've been teaching, I don't agree with. It's not practical. They're focusing on the wrong things and they don't want to listen to me. I have to say that quite openly. So I do like making my own rules, and my rules are being flexible, what I think the student needs. And not just saying this is a policy, we have to follow it, because every student is different. Not every student is the same. Not every student learns the same. Not every student progresses the same. Sometimes we have to give more attention. Sometimes we give less attention. That's just the way it is.
Currently, like in certain school systems, it's very pigeonholed and it's not where it's catered to the student's development. And like, I definitely agree, running your own. What are some advice you would give someone who is aspiring to be an English language teacher? What are your tips?
You need to be very mentally strong. Just alone. Yes. That you're speaking to someone that doesn't speak your language, most likely. So you have to be extremely patient. You have to be extremely headstrong. You got to keep in mind they come from a different environment than you, different mindset. Another one is you got to have fun. You got to have fun while you're doing this. You got to love what you like to do. Otherwise, you shouldn't do it.
Definitely would be helpful. It's all about having fun at the end of the day. What cultural norms did you encounter while teaching?
I understand my students' cultural norms, being that I come from a similar background. So I did grow up in America, of course. So smiling is normal for me. In our mentality, coming from another American, right? We smile because it's polite. It's just what we do. It's some other countries, it's not like. And when you come from the post-Soviet territories, if you're smiling at someone you don't know, they think you're crazy.
Oh, wow. So
my students were just nervous. Breaking out, and they were skeptical of me because I was smiling. But the reason why I was smiling is because I want them to immerse themselves in my culture
and just radiate positive energy as well.
Of course, I want them to smile too.
Yes, it's contagious. I know it's contagious. Want to smile.
Yeah,
it makes you feel good. It takes a lot more energy to frown than to smile.
And another one I would say is this is a small one. This is the metric system. Being that we're the only country that uses Fahrenheit, miles. Most of my students, they go with Celsius. They go with, have no idea what this stuff, Fahrenheit, this and that. They don't use it. So it was even difficult for me living abroad, like to get used to this. So it was funny because I had a student from Warsaw, Poland. Okay. And, you know, I was asking them, it was July, and I'm asking them, like, what's the temperature? And they go, 27 degrees. And I'm like, 27 degrees? And then they go Celsius. And I'm like, oh, Celsius. Okay. I thought you were telling me like there is like a global freezing going on.
I know Poland gets very cold. It's up in Europe. Hopefully they definitely stay warm. What are your plans or goals for 2023?
So another reason that I chose English language is I like to explore. I like to travel. So my goal in my life is to go to as many countries as I can. Well, I'm young, I guess, is the best way to put it. I would like to travel more to Eastern Europe again. And I'm also interested in Central Asian countries. Western Europe would be fine. Take me to any country. If there's beautiful nature, nice people, I'll go to it.
Those sound like really exciting and adventurous plans. Where can people find you?
Find me on Preply, of course. That would be a little bit much of a search. I'm always available through my Instagram, which is English with Native.
Thank you, Matt, for joining us on the Teaching Online English podcast.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was an amazing episode with Teaching Online English Podcast. Do one act of kindness today and subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to share it. We are super appreciative of your support. And please visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com for exclusive content, resources on getting an English language job, and reading up on some helpful articles. Thank you so much again for your support.